Okay, so in these last six chapters of what we're looking at today, Samuel chapter 9 through 16, 15 actually, we see the story of Saul, how he came to be the king of Israel. And I'm going to have to summarize it for you. But basically, the Lord told Samuel that he was going to send Saul to him. And Saul, unbeknownst to Saul, Saul thought he was just going out to look for a donkey. And he ends up looking for finding the prophet Samuel to ask, do you know anything about my donkey? And he says, yes, he's been found, don't worry about him, but here's a message from the Lord. You've been chosen to be the king of Israel. And Saul, he stands a head above everyone else. He's taller than everyone he looks out over everyone. But basically, the Lord says that, since they rejected me, they're going to have Saul as their king, which is sort of God's way of getting back at them. But because Saul wasn't a very good king. He wasn't a very good king. But it says that in chapter 9, verse 20, it says, as for the donkey, you lost 3 days ago. Do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family? And then Saul, he goes into this, short time of humility in his life. Well, I'm just from the smallest tribe or whatever. But then that doesn't last very long, because after Saul is anointed and he begins to have some victory in battle in chapter 10, he begins to be puffed up and that's the beginning of his downfall. So in chapter 10, we see the word anointed again. And it says, chapter 10, verse 1, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on the Lord's head and kissed him, and saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? God foresaw this day in Deuteronomy. It says, in the day when you ask of a king, you will receive a king of the Lord's choosing. It wasn't a democracy where they voted for their king. God chose Samuel specifically, and we don't always know the whys of everything, but God said he would be the one that would be the anointed one at first. Now this anointing would be taken away from him, and David would become the anointed one. But let's note the rise and the fall of Saul. There's a detailed prophecy given to him. In this chapter. I don't have time to go into all of it, but here's a notable verse here in verse 6, chapter 10, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Interesting. Could that be a kind of conversion? Changed into a different person. I heard a joke once. You know the cartoon Charlie Brown?
No joke.
There was Linus and Lucy. Well, Linus comes to Lucy and he says, hey, there's been a lot of changes in my life. And she says, I know. And she said, there needs to be change, but I mean for the better. So Saul was a different person, but it seems that he wasn't really that good of a leader. He didn't have so much understanding of people and their needs. He made this vow. Anyone who eats on this certain day until I'm avenged of the Philistines, they're accursed. And his son didn't know about this, and his son had this great faith stirred up in him, saying, hey, only my father and I have swords, and God is not limited by the number of people. God could save our people from the Philistines by just a couple of people. So he said to his armor bearer, hey, let's go into the camp of the Philistines. Perhaps God will give them into our hands. And this will be the sign that he's giving them into our hands. If they invite us up, then we surely can go. And he did. They killed like 30 people of their enemies. And then the other Israelites joined in the attack when God caused chaos in the enemies, and they had a great victory. But the other people that were fighting, they were starving. They were exhausted from the fighting. And then after all that, they were just so hungry that they just started killing sheep and just eating them with the blood in them. And that was a sin according to the Jewish dietary laws. And so, they said, you got to stop doing this. This is a terrible sin. But yet, Saul added on to that. He said, now let's go fight all night until morning time. You know, they're already exhausted. He already said he can't eat anything. Jonathan didn't know that he made them promise not to eat anything. And Joshua took, you know, some honey. He found some honey and he was refreshed by it. And the people said, ooh, you're getting in big trouble now. And he said, what's the big deal? We need to be, you know, we're fighting for the Lord. God is helping us. And so the people actually stood up for Jonathan. So that they didn't let Saul kill him. Although Saul kind of made this oath that he would kill him. So foolishness leads to more foolishness. And Saul, even though Samuel says, hey, I'm going to meet you in 7 days and at this certain hilltop and we're going to sacrifice there. Saul got impatient after the 6 days was up. Samuel was almost there and Saul said, oh, the people are starting to leave and I need to keep them here. So he went and he offered the sacrifice by himself, which he shouldn't have done because he was anointed priest, not as a... he was anointed king, not as a priest. And so this deserved a strong rebuke. So this is the first of two major rebukes that Samuel gives to him. Found in chapter 12. Verse 11. Well, start at verse 10. Then, just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him, as if he was a priest, saying, oh, the Lord bless you. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, I saw the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembled at Michmash. I don't know how to say it. I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. And Samuel said, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And of course, we know that's David, according to Acts chapter 7, verse 46. And appointed him a leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. So this is the first of two times when Saul blatantly disobeyed the Lord. The second time is in chapter 15, when God said very clearly to him, in verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them in the camp from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death the men, the women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. So God was going to wipe out this whole generation of people. They were too wicked. They didn't repent. But the Lord said, don't have any compassion on them or spare any of them. What did Saul do? He kept the king alive. He kept the healthy sheep and animals alive. And he tried to cover it up for it by saying, oh, we were going to sacrifice them to the Lord. Trying to make himself look more spiritual than he was. It was disobedience. And so he deserved another rebuke. And even though he was given chance to confess it, he was still saying, oh, you know, it's justified. I got upset when I was reading this. I was like, come on, like, I hope I don't have to deal with people like this. But, you know, the stubbornness of people's hearts leads them to do foolish things in spite of the consequences. His kingdom is going to be ripped out of his hands. Samuel basically says, okay, that's it. God's done with you. And he begins to leave. Samuel grabs a hold of his tunic and it rips. And Samuel turns around and says, look, God is going to rip the kingdom out of your hands. So it's just full of disappointment is the word that comes to mind about Saul. Very disappointing. Which should be expected. If you look to a man to be your king rather than God, you're going to be disappointed. And so, which is why all of this only leads to further anticipation of the coming Messiah, who would be king, who would fulfill the will of God, who would understand the people. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So complete contrast here between Saul and Jesus. Sorry for the distracting things there. And then, so just to summarize these last six chapters. Chapter 10, Samuel anoints Saul as king. We saw that in verse 1. Chapter 11, Israel confirms Saul as king. In chapter 12, Samuel charges Israel to obey God. In other words, okay, you have a king now, but you still have to obey God. You're under his authority. Chapter 13, Saul's rebellion and the first rebuke, which I talked about, that for that sacrifice he did. Chapter 14, God works salvation for Jonathan, that wonderful story of faith, which actually I could go more into detail in fellowship time, but God used that story in my life in a personal way. Chapter 15 is Saul finally rejecting God, and therefore God rejects Saul. And that's the way it is. God's promise to be with us, it's a conditional promise. If we forsake him, it says in Deuteronomy, then he will forsake us. His promise to be with us is it assumes that we are believers, that we are walking by faith. And I'm confident that God will finish the work that he begins in us. And the question of perseverance of the saints, in Scripture we're encouraged, persevere through trials, you know, deal with sin in your life, confess it, forsake it. The Amalekites, they're a picture of the flesh, and the Bible says to mortify the deeds of your flesh. Don't indulge in the flesh, don't sow to the flesh, because you'll reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Just some rich lessons we learn from this bad example of Saul. But good lessons we learn from the good example of Samuel. And so that's what we looked at today. Next week we'll study 1 Samuel chapter 16 through 31, which deals with the time where both Saul and David were anointed for the kingdom. But Saul was holding on desperately to his usurped authority there. And David is respecting his authority. So, may the Lord bless you as you continue to study his word. Let's pray. God, I thank you for giving us so many descriptions of who you are, that we may know you better. Pray that you would help us to apply these things to our lives now, as you are our priest, and we come to you, we come through you, Jesus, to the Father. And as you are our prophet, that we may hear your words, and unlike Saul, that we may obey you when we hear you, receiving your words, not rejecting them. And as you are our king, we pray that we may allow you to rule over us. You would reign in our hearts, reign over our thoughts, take every thought captive, and give us victory. Lead us into that victorious Christian life as we trust in you and live depending upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. We just pray for that victory over our flesh, over those areas that we still haven't conquered, over the lies of the enemy, that we may win people over to you. Please use our lives as a testimony, as a witness, as a good example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.